Note to self, don't scream before you're going to talk. This prayer, holy and amazing God, startle us with your presence of love that meets us in that place of deep groans, so deep that even words can't even possibly express our prayer. Amen. So most of you are well aware that we're doing this series called Unraveled. Life unravels, often very unexpectedly. And I've been sharing some of the wisdom that I stumbled across and some of the wisdom that was given to me when life unraveled for our family as my wife was critically ill in OHSU for over 30 days. So there I was sitting vigil by her bedside day after day. You know, and I assume that strength meant holding it together. I had to hold it together for everybody. I was assuming that strength meant kind of gritting my teeth, stealing my resolve, and especially holding it together for my sons. So day after day after day, I held it together. One day a nurse, and it's amazing the wisdom that was passed on to me from these nurses. But this nurse said, "Stephen, I've been watching you, and you've been holding your breath for over 3 weeks. If you don't find a way to release all that's pent up inside of you, you're going to explode." And she said, you know, all of that fear, all of that sadness, all of that anger perhaps, that's not weakness. It's called being a human being. She said, you got to feel. You got to feel your feelings. And she said, not the feelings you think you should be feeling, not the feelings that you think other people expect you to be feeling. Feel your feelings and express them. Let them go. And then she said, scream at me. I promise, I won't scream back. And I'm thinking to myself, what a mission for the church, really. Scream at me, at each other, with each other. And let's be this place of grace and container where you can trust that we're not going to scream back at you. We're going to be able to hold the fullness of your emotions. What a mission statement for the church, to be a container, a space of grace, to hold the fullness of emotions. I mean, think of all of the anger and the sadness and the fear and the anxiety and the depression that people are experiencing these days. Where does all that go? And think of all of that and all of the physical symptoms that we experience because we're holding all of that within ourselves. And think of all of the breakdowns in our relationship, how ugly we can be to each other because we're holding all of that within ourselves and the emotional kind of wear and tear that costs. You know, think of the violence in our country. Parker Palmer said, violence to yourself, violence to others, happens when suffering has nowhere to go. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to clench your fist. We've done this before, but I'd like you to humor me. Clench your fist. This is my way of making sure you don't fall asleep at this stage in the morning. So if you clench your fist, and I want you to think of an emotion you've experienced, I'm not going to ask you to share it with your neighbor. Anger, sadness, fear, whatever it happens to be, imagine you're holding on to that emotion. You know, when our fist is clenched, we have some choices to make. We can cause harm. That's what's happening in our world. That's what's happening in our culture. I mean, the world lives right now like a clenched fist. Or maybe we just don't know what to do with it. So we stuff it deep inside. We tuck it away. So I'd like you to now put your fist behind your back and keep it there if you can. Because maybe we've been taught we really don't know how to express our emotions in a healthy way. Maybe we've been taught that our emotions aren't okay. Maybe as Christians, as people of faith, it's not okay to be angry. It's so inappropriate to be angry. Or maybe we've been taught that if you have fear, it just simply means you don't have enough faith, right? I was at a memorial service for a dear friend not long ago. It wasn't in Bend, it was somewhere else. And the pastor said, don't be sad. And don't weep, because your dear friend is in a better place. I so wanted to get out of my seat and yell out, what a load of BS! Weep! Cry! Let it out! Tears are holy! We love Susan. And it hurts that she's gone. Cry! Weep! Be angry! You'll be pleased to know I didn't get out of my seat. I didn't open my mouth. So now you have this back here, right? And pretty soon, anybody's shoulder starting to ache? And your back might kind of ache after a while? And then it won't be long. If we're holding on to these emotions for a long time, what often might happen is we get a headache. And then if we get a headache, we'll just take aspirin because we want to feel better. And we've kind of lost the connection to these emotions we've tucked way deep inside that are connected to the headache that we're experiencing. Or we might get irritable. We might take it out on others. We might kick the cat, whatever it happens to be. And we've lost this connection that all of that is tied to the emotions that we have tucked deep inside. And we're spending so much energy holding it in. Now what I'd like you to do, is release. How does that feel? Can you feel the energy difference? The shift? And it's funny how the energy has changed, but notice what else is different. Like this, I'm not necessarily emotionally available to you. This, I can now give love and receive love. Have you ever had emotion of whatever it happens to be so pent up that you just want to scream? Anybody? Few? The rest of you? The confession booth will be set up just outside there. What if that scream is the most honest and poignant prayer we can possibly pray? What if that scream is a spiritual practice, a way of praying, a way of bringing into the light of Christ's love that which we like to keep hidden in shame and fear? Our Bible reading this morning is Psalm 22. Now this verse, I'm just picking one verse, you might have heard it somewhere else, but it's the psalmist in Psalm 22 cried out in anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where have you gone? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you left me alone in my suffering? That's the prayer. Honest, raw, real. Where else have you heard that? On the cross. Well, Jesus would have heard that prayer in the temple growing up, because that's where the Psalms were shared. The Psalms were shared in the temple as the people of God gathered. Sometimes they were shared, sometimes they were sung, but the Psalms were shared as a community of faith, because these ancient people of faith trusted that God was the container to hold our anger and rage, our joy, our sorrow, our fear, all of it. God could be trusted with all of it. So Jesus would have gone to the temple and he would have learned that prayer. And in his point of deepest need, his point of deepest despair, where did he turn? To that prayer on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Really, who among us hasn't prayed that prayer before? Who among us hasn't prayed that prayer either silently or out loud? Maybe Jesus in that prayer was teaching us how to be human. That vulnerability is not weakness. That's where our strength is. Maybe, you know, Jesus taught us how to pray through the Lord's Prayer. Maybe Jesus was also teaching us how to pray in that cry of anguish from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because the paradox is, could it be that God's presence is most poignantly felt when we cry out in anguish because we feel God's absence? So it's about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was already at the hospital. Actually, I'd been at the hospital all night long. And I was at wit's end. And I went to the meditation garden at OHSU to pray, I guess. And when I got there, I had no words. No words. And to my surprise, it was 6 a.m., there wasn't anybody that I was aware of around. I screamed. And then it came right like a wave, right after the next. I screamed again. And then I found myself down on my knees, literally hands in the air, screaming. No words, just screaming. Now, I've been praying for over 50 years. I felt God's presence more powerfully in that scream than any other time in my life. It was like all of that rage and fear and sadness that had settled into my bones began to move like a storm moves across the summer sky. What I was sharing with kids, one of my favorite scriptures, is Romans 8:36, where it says, God's Spirit helps us in our weakness. That it says, we don't know how to pray, but God's Spirit hears our groans that are too deep even for words. It says God's Spirit intercedes through our wordless screams. So there I was screaming, and God's Spirit was right in the midst of all of that. And what was amazing is when I went back to the ICU, and I went back to Lori's room, and I went back to sitting in that chair I'd been sitting in for 3.5 weeks. Something shifted. I felt this strange kind of peace. I felt stronger. Not the kind of strength that came from trying to pretend I can hold it all together, but the strength that came from admitting I couldn't, and for being vulnerable and expressing the depths of my emotions. You know, so I'm often asked, why is there so much Kleenex in this sanctuary? If you look under the pews, there's Kleenex everywhere. It's our way of saying, all of you is welcome here. All of your emotions. That you don't have to hold it together. You don't have to feel ashamed or embarrassed if you can't hold it together. My favorite saying says that it's okay if you fall apart sometimes. Tacos fall apart. We love them. There is so much anger, so much fear, so much sadness. If I might say, in our country right now, there's so much existential angst. Think of that fist again. Where is all that sadness and fear and anger going? I mean, there's so much ugliness. So often we're ugly with each other. What's happening now, there's a lot of ugliness projected towards the marginalized because we don't know how to deal with our own fear and insecurities and weaknesses. So we project it on the weak. I'm so inspired by Greta Thunberg, right? This 16-year-old climate activist. This 16-year-old climate activist from Sweden who is in total and complete despair on the state of the planet. This 16-year-old who had the wisdom not to bury her feelings and not to be frozen by the magnitude of the problem, she wept, but then she called us to action, to love. 1 year ago, Greta had the first climate strike outside the parliament buildings in Sweden by herself, one person. She was it. 1 year later, millions of people across the entire globe gathered in these rallies. Now, these rallies, I believe, were prayers of lament, an opportunity to gather together and cry over the state of our planet. But there were more than that. They were calls to love. Calls to action. And I love what Greta said. I want you to feel the fear. Don't deny it. Don't stuff it away. Don't pretend it doesn't exist. Feel it. But then let that fear be transformed in love. Richard Rohr, pain that is not transformed gets transmitted. Let that fear get transformed in love. Love for our planet, love for our neighbor, and let's act. Martin Luther King Jr. knew that. He knew that unless our emotions were transformed in love, we just transmit pain. He spoke those timeless words, darkness doesn't drive out darkness. More hate doesn't drive out hate. I think the greatest spiritual challenge of our day is somehow preventing being, it's so ugly, the challenge is to not simply be a mirror reflection of the ugliness in the way that we resist and protest that ugliness. Darkness does not drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate does not drive out hate. Only love can do that. So there I was in that meditation garden, screaming my fear, my rage, my sadness. God was there, transforming all of that. My hands and my hearts were open, and I could then become the presence of love for my wife and my family that I desired to be. Clench your fist one last time. Now we can continue to cause pain to one another. We can tuck it all and hide it deep inside out of shame and fear. Or we can trust God and release it into God's presence. Scream, write, paint, sing, run, ask for help. Release it. Release it. In this world of ours that lives like a clenched fist, courage is an open hand and a tender heart. Scream at me. I promise I won't scream back. Amen. We continue to worship God as the offering is received. And may we offer God in this time the fullness of our emotions, trusting grace will receive them.